Welcome to Shir 11 in the Jewish Dietary Laws, and Chapter 4 is entitled The First Law of the Torah, a Dietary Law. Now, it's important that we examine the first law of the Torah in our search into Kashrus to help us understand Jewish law, and in general, what the character of Jewish law is. Now, the Torah states in Bereishis, in the beginning, in 2:15 through 17, it says that Hashem took Adam, put him into the garden, and told him that he should work the garden, he should guard the garden, and Hashem told Adam he could eat from every tree, u'me'etz hadas tov v'ra lo sochal, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can't eat from it, ki b'yom ha'chacham imenu mos tamus, because on the day that you eat from this tree, you are going to die. Rav Hirsch writes that this law is a prototype for all Torah laws. It's a chok, and chukim are meant for character training. Included in the chukim are basically two types of laws, dietary laws and laws regarding morality. We know that chukim are not easily understood, and they refer to things that are subordinate to the human being, including one's own body. Our chachamim tell us that our yetzer hara and the nations in general rebel against the chukim. And this command, this first command, is a chok. The motive to keep it is solely because Hashem decreed it. From man's point of view, the Torah tells us that everything about the fruit was good, and there was no reason that he, or she, should not partake of this tree. The Torah explains it to us by saying, she saw the tree was good to eat, tempting to the eyes, appealing to understanding. There was no reason that she could fathom why she should not be able to partake from this tree. And after they ate, what was the great revelation that they had? That they were unclothed. And this teaches us that before they ate, they had no reason to be ashamed of their bodies in any way. Everything, including physicality, was for God, since everything was being used completely in His service. When the obedience to Hashem is not complete, that's when we have shame. The idea of shame is awakened in us. Our desires are not necessarily in sync with what Hashem demands that they should be. And this shame is what we call our conscience, and it is there to constantly remind us that we are not animals. Man himself can't know what is good and bad. For that we have the Torah, and we measure all of our actions against the Torah, which teaches us everything that is good or bad. And just to give an exact quote, he ends off by saying, this is the basis of Judaism as the religion of law. Now, we could cite a variety of psukim to show that this is the purpose of the Torah and of the mitzvos. All of them come from Devarim. But let's just mention one of these. In Devarim 30, Pasuk 19, the Torah tells us that heaven and earth stand as witnesses that life and death, blessing and curse are set before us, and that we are to choose life by keeping the laws of the Torah. Hashem took a human craving, food in this case, and built the first prohibition in the Torah around food and the fact that we are sensual beings. We need the Torah to teach us self-sanctification as we master ourselves and subordinate our will to Hashem's will, in other words, our sensual urges to the Torah's will, we become human as opposed to being subjected to our animal side. And this very first commandment, then, was meant to teach man self-control, which is a prerequisite for all human education. In our own lives, we need to make this same fundamental choice daily. Do we follow what seems good and appeals to the senses, or do we follow God as tradition has handed down to us? And this tradition of the choice that we learn from Adam and Chava is a precursor for all mitzvos, which is, of course, self-control. Now, this message is a universal message. It applies to non-Jews as well. And this should be obvious since Hashem is addressing Adam. He's not addressing the Jewish nation. We generally understand that there are seven laws that the non-Jewish world is commanded to observe. And the reason I say generally is because you could find different countings. And there are many more than seven, but seven are just the general categories which include the others. Now, six of these laws were commanded to original man, to Adam, which include creating a justice system, the prohibition against blaspheming Hashem's name, idolatry, murder, illicit relationships, and stealing. Now, Noach was commanded a seventh mitzvah, which is Eiver Menachai, eating from a live animal. So altogether, these seven mitzvahs are named after Noach. We call them the Noachide laws, or the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, since Noach and his family passed them down after the flood. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on 56b, it learns the Sheva Mitzvahs from this command of not eating from the Eitz Hadas. So from that very pasuk, where Hashem commands Adam not to eat from the tree, the Gemara darshins out all seven of these mitzvahs. Now, from the above, the author draws two conclusions. So the first one is that the first mitzvah in the Torah teaches us some of the ideas and aims behind kashrus, as well as teaching us that the Torah in general is here to educate man by raising him from sensuality to a human being. We take our split personality between the animal and the human, we mold them together into one, each complementing the other, as since we are composed of both, we need both in order to serve God. We create this harmony by observing the law, by observing the mitzvahs in the Torah. And number two, man needs God to understand what is good and evil. One's personal conscience could only lead them so far, and a person could be easily swayed. However, for the world at large, the Sheva Mitzvos guide them to correct decisions, and what we call Judeo-Christian values definitely takes a part of this. And for the Jewish nation, our complete Torah, our 613 mitzvos, which again are our main categories, there are many more than that, guides us in our knowledge of what is good and what is evil. Now this ends chapter 4, and also part 1 of the Jewish dietary laws. Part 2 speaks more to practical applications of the laws of kashrus, and we're going to attempt to extract some of the ideas that Dan Grunfeld quotes relating to these laws, and there are many of them, and we may mention some of the overall laws revolving around specific aspects of kashrus, but as we mentioned earlier already, we are not attempting here to relay practical halacha. For that, there are plenty of other shiurim and sefarim that are available.